Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras, and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with CEO of Virtual Health, Adam Sabloff, who discusses the current transformation of value-based care in healthcare and what he thinks the future may look like for value-based care after COVID and the presidential election. Hello, Adam. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you. How about yourself?
Pretty good, thank you. So to get started, can you first tell me what Virtual Health's mission is and what drove you to start the company?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting story because I'm actually not from the healthcare industry originally, although I've been there for a decade at this point. I was in the real estate industry. I built the first ever Ritz-Carlton residences in the Inner Harbor of Baltimore. And we had a lot of, since it was the first one ever, we were dealing with a lot of, we weren't exactly sure of the clientele, but there are a lot of elderly individuals who had chronic conditions who were moving into the condo project. So I also oversaw a tech subsidiary of the company, and we thought maybe we could use technology by bringing together, you know, telehealth, connected devices, transportation, nutritional meals, basically activities of daily living. We got Johns Hopkins, who was going to agree to do some care coordination. And then what we were going to try to do is provide basically the virtual assisted living offering to the clients so that they could age with the facility as they got older. What happened is I had a late stage diagnosis in the family, and I ended up losing a member of my family. And what was frustrating is going through the healthcare process, and we're really seeing it right now with COVID, how reactive it is, right? And if they had, you know, detected the situation a couple years earlier, you know, that person would still be here. The hospital system wouldn't have been overrun. And with us waiting in the waiting rooms and dealing with all the chemo and things like that, and the insurance company willing to spend millions of dollars. So I just thought, if all of our incentives are aligned, why aren't we working to proactively care for populations of individuals? And that was my impetus for launching Virtual Health, which I launched in 2012, with the idea of using, technology for early detection and prevention.
That's great. So where does Virtual Health fit within the larger value-based care discussion?
Well, value-based care is what we were built for, right? Because the idea of value-based care is, I'm sure most people know at this point, but it's basically putting healthcare on a budget and providing outcomes, at better value. So in order to do that, you have to prevent those expensive hospitalizations. Because if an organization is getting reimbursed, let's say, it's primarily Medicaid, Medicare, where it exists today, but let's say, an organization is getting reimbursed a few thousand dollars a month per patient. You know, one hospitalization could be, $10,000, $20,000 a night, and that blows up your model. So the only way to truly provide value-based care is to keep them out of the hospital. And then what happened is a lot of the healthcare managed care organizations that are out there, basically the payers, they recognize that our platform could be an extremely powerful tool for gathering all that information and finding the insights, but then also providing the tools and the workflows to actually take action at any given moment. And, we have some of the largest, health plans in the country that have found great success using this proactive model. I think that the one thing, to just tie this into COVID, I think, what we're recognizing here, it's what we do with Medicaid and Medicare is a microcosm of what just occurred. If we were able to do better care management and use better technology, we could have caught the trends earlier among the general population. We could have found the hotspots. We could have prevented people from getting hospitalized. We could have prevented, things from spreading, and we would have been proactive endeavor to get things under control rather than reactive. So I hope that this is a wake-up call to the industry that, value-based care, proactive care is the wave of the future. And I think it's going to be the wave of the future regardless of, political affiliations or whatnot.
Right. Now to tie in COVID-19, how has COVID-19 impacted the move towards value-based care?
Well, I think what's interesting is, I said earlier, telehealth was where I started, right? That was the first. And then when we built the platform, organizations were much more about meeting in person, especially the clientele that we deal with, you know, the elderly, the disadvantaged, they felt much more comfortable with in-person meetings. So we actually removed telehealth from the product itself. Our clients just didn't see the true value and power of it. And when this kind of broke out, the situation, our clients, I immediately recognized that, you know, this was the opportunity for, widespread adoption. We're seeing that with a lot of the telehealth companies, obviously, but we recognized that as part of our integrated workflow, we had to have the ability for care managers at managed care organizations and to bring in doctors and family members and the members themselves who are in the community and have live real-time conversations with those individuals, because since, you know, they're not going out into the field anymore. So in a matter of weeks, we were able to get that telehealth product back up and running. And one of the biggest advantages of it is it doesn't require an app on the, for any of the individuals. It sends you a secure text link. It brings up a HIPAA compliant browser, and you're able to communicate with your care manager, your doctor, or whatnot, which is extremely important for our population, again, because you're dealing with elderly who may not be as tech savvy, and you're also dealing with people who have chronic conditions and may not be as mobile.
Right. Okay, thank you. Now, a whole person view of a patient is a critical component of value-based care. What roles does technology play in bringing this information together to all players in the healthcare journey, from healthcare tracking apps to health plans?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is historically, the care management industry, which is where we live, has always been about internal systems, right? IT systems, and getting all of those IT systems to kind of work together so you can capture all the clinical data, you can capture the claims data, you can make decisions based on that. I mean, I think, that's been around for a very long time, in-home assessments. I think what the real powerful transition that is occurring now is, while everything's moved to the cloud, it's also opened up the opportunity to tap into a universe of new technologies, basically becoming a command and control center for that digital health universe, where you're no longer worrying about the interoperability of internal systems, but the interoperability of external systems and consumer facing tools. So one of the things, like we've seen is, for example, there's a lot of great digital health tools out there, right? But how do you make that, what works, everybody jumped on digital health tools when COVID broke out, right? That was the first thing they all did. But then they recognized that in order to maintain the momentum of those digital health tools and to make them actually useful in the future, they need to upgrade their infrastructure to allow for the aggregation and interoperability of those tools and integrating them into the care management workflows. So, even things like as simple as, Apple, who has a universe of app developers, right, who are building all these great apps, leveraging the HealthKit, leveraging, the watch and all the great stuff that's out there. There are different organizations that decide, well, I like these apps better than those apps, or I want to buy a watch for everybody in my population, or just for the people who have, heart conditions. It's extremely important that they have the infrastructure to support those decisions, because for the long term, it's not going to be acceptable to just have let's get this up and running and throw some watches out into the community, right? It needs to be part of the entire healthcare journey. And that's what's really, that connective tissue is really what's going to bring together the consumer, the community, the doctor, the physician providers, and the insurance companies, where they all have to work together in order to provide better care. That's the real key here.
Right. Thank you. Now, how do you think the election will impact the future of value-based care? And also, where do you think there can be some alignment amongst both parties?
That's a great question. And it's one I really like, because one of the things that I found extremely frustrating over the years has been the political football that healthcare has become. Right, because it's all a lot of buzzwords, essentially, at the end of the day. And the truth is value-based care is better care at lower prices. That's the future of healthcare, regardless of what party you're in. So on the one hand, you have Democrats who want to expand the Medicaid programs or Medicare for all, which brings in more people into the population. But at the same time, you have the Republican side that likes the privatization of the managed care organizations. And essentially, if they could just get together and agree that let's expand Medicaid and Medicare, and let's you know, privatize and let them compete, you know, and delegate those populations, you'll end up with a really, really successful hybrid of the two. And I think that they loosely throw around terms like Obamacare and things like that, because ultimately, I mean, what Obamacare really accomplished more than anything is it forced, I mean, one of the biggest results of it was it forced doctors to go to electronic health records. And people forget that it was not a long time ago that doctors still had all their records in filing cabinets, right? And now it's all accessible in the cloud in real time, which is actually a major step in the right direction. But then the other thing it did was allow states to tap into innovation by expanding their Medicaid programs and doing Medicaid transformation, moving to that managed care model, and really, investing in value-based care. And, you know, they're seeing great outcomes, you know, from it. And there's still probably about half the states in the country that haven't transitioned yet, let alone the commercial populations. But I think that that's going to be one of the topics that if they could just get in a room together, they'll be able to figure out that they're really saying the same thing, and stop making an election issue and just start recognizing that proactive care is the best interest of our healthcare system and our citizens.
We got to get that message out there. I'll make sure your words go live.
It's very frustrating.
Oh, I can tell, but I agree. Yes.
Playing with people's lives.
Right. Exactly. Now to the next topic, how has virtual health responded to the recent industry shifts due to COVID-19?
Well, as I said before, we launched an integrated telehealth module, which I think is probably the first of its kind in the care management world. It's not doctor to patient, it's care manager the doctor to patient, or care manager the doctor to family member the patient. So it's really bridging that gap that's kind of existed historically. We've also built out a whole bunch of tracing and assessments tools that are specific to COVID, so that our clients are able to better leverage essentially the data that they're gathering and focus it more on, are these conditions, you know, leaning towards, you know, positive COVID diagnosis or potential hotspots. We were very quick to turn all that kind of stuff around. And again, I would just reemphasize the fact that what we're also allowing our clients to do is bring all of those new digital health tools. And look, digital health has been around for a long time. Telehealth's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't had that widespread adoption. But again, you know, allowing our clients to not just adopt those digital health, the new tools in digital health, but also implementing it into their overall care plan and implementing it with the existing data, the existing tools, the existing systems that they have in place, and becoming that much smarter and actionable and effective because of it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, this may be a little bit repetitive, but what do you think value-based care will look like? I mean, post-COVID, do you think these operations will continue on now? I mean, it's already set in stone in a way, but just your thoughts.
Yeah, value-based care from the reimbursement standpoint, that may take some time to change in the commercial world, because it's just, there's a lot, you know, like any other big bloated business, there's just a lot of legacy, you know, legacy players, legacy systems, legacy technology, legacy, you know, policies. So it's going to take a big shift in terms of, recognizing that it's going to start with proactive, right? Forget whether or not we're reimbursing the value-based care contract. We have to be proactive. We have to use these tools, continue to use these tools. Telehealth can't be a fad, right? Transportation, social determinants of health, all these things that we're discovering now, you know, the communities that are disproportionately affected, all that kinds of stuff, that can't just be a fad, right? We have to recognize moving forward that this happened once, it could easily happen again. And if you're not proactive, you're not utilizing these tools, you don't have the infrastructure to capitalize on using these tools, you're going to fail like once again, and our health system is going to, they're never going to build enough hospitals to care for another pandemic of this magnitude. I mean, they need to use technology to find this stuff much earlier. So as far as value-based care, the key to value-based care is proactive care, and proactive care is absolutely going to be an immediate response to this. And I think value-based care will follow, although it might take some time, especially in the commercial populations, to kind of become mainstream.
Okay, great, thanks. And lastly, I mean, that's all I have for you, but is there anything you wanted to share about virtual health or value-based care that I may have missed?
No, I think what's extremely important is that there are a lot of people in healthcare that want to do good. And I think a lot of people get into healthcare because of personal stories like myself. And, you know, sometimes the best ideas come from outsiders, right? And that you could say that about any industry. It wasn't an easy path for us, right? And it wasn't an easy path for someone in real estate to all of a sudden say, okay, I'm providing healthcare care management. We really had to earn our way. But I think as a result of that, we've definitely changed the landscape. We've pushed our competitors to do better. We've pushed the industry to do better. And I think as a whole, I think, you know, we have found a lot of those people that have really good hearts, that really want to do good, that really want to, you know, solve issues. And at the end of the day, it's not about politics, right? It's about caring for people and caring for human, you know, each other. And I think that's something that a lot of people share, regardless of their political affiliation. And it's heartening to see, and disheartening to see the public fights about it. But I think there's a lot of good that's going to come out of this. We're going to be a stronger healthcare system as a result of this. The technologies that have been developed are going to be here to stay, and you're going to see a lot more money flooding into the sector. So I think it's an exciting time to be in healthcare. I'm really looking forward to the future of you know, the next run on. You know, providing better care.
Right. Great. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And thank you, you know, just for, you know, giving us and giving me personally more of an idea of value-based care overall. So thank you again so much.
My pleasure. I believe in it wholeheartedly. So I'm happy to see
you. All right. Well, thank you again. And you have a great one.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts, and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on MHE, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.